Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know, around here, we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million. Joe Costello, Sierra Nevada, Hop Bullet. I think I have one of those in the fridge. Well, there we go. Well, this is going to be very interesting. It's going to be very interesting to see how this goes.
This is a beer,
yeah,
I'm guessing.
Hop Bullet. It's a beer, yes. All right, you get to start.
All right. Hey, hello, everyone. I'm Kimberly Adams, and welcome to Make Me Smart. It is Happy Hour Friday, Economics on Tap, as we call it. And Kai is here also, because you're always here.
I am, but barely, given some technological challenges, but nobody needs to know about that. Anyway, we got the live stream up. So for those of you on YouTube, thank you very much for doing that. We will do the news fix as per usual and our new half full, half empty segment, thanks to the social gang. Ms. Adams, am drinking, let's see, what am I drinking? Smog City IPA. It's a quite delicious IPA made by a brewery here in California. And I'm loving it. What are you having?
I am having a very fall themed drink. I've got hot apple cider with a cinnamon stick, a piece of star anise, and of course my whiskey. I've got a Uncle Nearest.
Sorry.
Why
and
are
of
you
course,
laughing?
My whiskey.
Why would I not have funny. Whiskey?
Anyway, you would not. Yeah, so. This is 2 weeks in a row that the other half of this podcast has had something akin to a hot toddy, right? Molly had a hot toddy last week. You're having something yummy this week. Is it cold on the East Coast this week? Is that what's going on?
Not really. I mean, not for November, but, you know, I like fall-themed drinks. I will not bring up the infamous issue that you have with fall flavored things.
Hey. No, this is a pumpkin spice free zone, this podcast is.
Well, I still, at some point in time, am going to make you a pumpkin spice margarita and you are going to love it because it's delicious.
All right.
Trust me.
So. If you
yes,
say so.
It's going to happen.
All right. Anyway, man's got a reputation.
The news. The news.
Yes. So did you read Farhad Manjoo today, by any chance?
Sorry, I didn't mean to blow on the mic. I had a real big sigh right there because, man, that was
I know. Farhad Manjoo used to be a technology reporter, then a columnist for the New York Times, and now he kind of writes about whatever strikes his fancy. He wrote a piece today about his coronavirus circle and how much bigger he thought. How much bigger it is than he thought it was, and then whether or not he's still going to go visit his parents for the holidays. And I'm not going to spoil it other than to say he is, and I can't believe it. I cannot believe it. I'm kind of amazed.
It's really astonishing. And what I'm hoping is, you know, to be the most charitable, perhaps – you know, he wrote all of this. Obviously, he did all this work and research before the CDC guidance begging people not to travel for Thanksgiving came down. So maybe, perhaps, fingers crossed, after that guidance and the public shaming, including of some of the people in that circle of his, in his bubble, maybe he's changing his line of thinking on that. You know...
Right.
My story is related to yours because in line with everybody making these decisions, there is news in Bloomberg and every local paper across the country covering their local hospitals about just the strain that hospital workers and first responders are under. And this Bloomberg story says 1 in 5 U.S. hospitals face a staffing crisis within a week. As in Thanksgiving. And these decisions are not just, you know, about you and your family and your bubble, but it's the people that you expose yourself to, the people at the gas station, the people who, if you rent a car, who have to clean that car after you. It's the hospital workers who are trying to keep their family safe and are exhausted already. And I just, I think it, look, I found out today that my cousin's in-laws, like his wife's parents, both of them have COVID. One of my close friends, her personal trainer was exposed. And I have more and more people in my circle. One of my elementary school teachers is currently in the ICU with COVID. And I have more and more people in my broader circle that have COVID or are sick or dying. And it's getting closer and closer and closer. And, you know, we're all trying to keep, you know, you and yours safe. But what about everybody else? It's just, I was very disappointed to see that story.
Yeah, for sure. My, I said the other day, actually, on this podcast that I didn't know anybody who had had COVID. And so then two things happened. Number one, my wife reminded me that, yes, I do, you idiot. and she reeled off like six people we know who have had coronavirus. And then I also learned, item number two, that my wife listens to this podcast, which is nice. So, you know, there's that.
Well, that's good. That. My mother never listens to my stuff. But also oh, I'm so sorry. Sheila Devitt just mentioned that two of her immediate family members have COVID.
Yeah. I mean, several
of my colleagues here at Marketplace have had it. And thankfully, you know, they're doing all right. But it's not great. So, I feel like we're preaching to the choir here, but please wear a mask, stay home, wash your hands, and we will. I personally will not judge anyone particularly harshly if one is in the mood to publicly shame those in your circle who choose not to. Just saying.
Yep. Okay. So that was yours. This was mine. Mm-hmm. I think we move on now to half full, half empty. Yes.
No, it says on here, make me smile, and I have one.
Well, I have one too, but I thought, okay, all right, fair enough.
Yes, I have one.
Well, then you go.
Thank you. Dolly Parton.
Sorry.
Just
Dolly
Parton.
Oh, my God, dear,
just
love her.
Just wonderfulness and amazing. Yep. So, yes, there is that she, you know, helped fund one of the COVID vaccines. Thank you. Yes, there is the helping children read and all of the other magicalness that is Dolly Parton. But now, Pandora announced today that Dolly Parton will be hosting this live event in December that's going to have a festive holiday special. And at this point, I'm here and down for all of the Dolly Parton content. I don't really care what it is at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. The thing about Dolly Parton that always gets me is the number of number one or, you know, top 50 songs or whatever it is that she has written that she didn't even record, right? She wrote songs for a bunch of other people, and it's crazy how prolific and genius and then now how much of a humanitarian she is. I mean, honestly, if we could all just have like a zillion Dolly Partons, we'd be all right.
You know, it's interesting. Someone was saying on Twitter that there's a reason that Dolly Parton is a millionaire and not a billionaire, which is the fact, and who knows if this is like financially true, but that she gives so much away that she doesn't allow herself to sort of pass a threshold. I don't know Dolly Parton's finances, but the point being that, you know, too much is given, much is expected, all that stuff. So what's yours?
For sure. Totally. So mine, which I didn't actually put in there, but I kind of love this. There's this study by, an energy company over in the UK. Hey, Bonds. Sorry, it's the dog. Bonds.
Love the dogs.
I know. Here she comes.
Yay.
Study over in the UK that talks about how much energy we waste sending stupid one-word emails like thanks, got it, talk to you soon. Don't do that. Yes, it's a tiny fraction of global warming output, all these data centers are. But look, nobody needs to have an email from you that says thanks or got it.
Especially not a reply all. We have a colleague who shall remain nameless who was a big fan of replying all to emails with thanks for this. And I finally begged them to stop.
You know what's really funny is, I don't know who you're talking about, but I know who you're talking about.
Yes, you do.
Look, every company's
God
got one
bless
of those.
Him.
Every company God has one
bless
of those.
Him.
God bless them. God bless them.
All right.
God bless
them. Half full, half empty. That
oh,
means
my goodness.
I need
okay.
to actually
so,
refill my drink, yes?
Well, you go ahead while I give the blurb. Here you go. So for those of you who weren't here last Friday, new thing, half full, half empty. We will run through some topics and trends and very quickly tell you our predictions and how we're feeling about each one, half full or half empty. And as Kimberly mixes her drink, I will read her next little bit in the rundown.
No, I've got it. So, I'm ready. I'm
okay.
ready.
All right,
and
go ahead.
Our engineer, Drew Jostad, will read us the topics. So take it away, Drew. I am
there
ready
we go.
For this.
Are you half full or half empty on Amazon Pharmacy?
I'm half. I have no strong feelings. Is that an option? It is now.
I am going to go with half full because Amazon, for all of its problems, is really good at logistics. And if this means that more people, especially in rural areas, have better access to lower cost prescription drugs at scale, I think that's a good thing. Now, do I think that we should be relying on private companies that push
right.
lots of
right.
other companies out of business in order to do that? No, but of the available options, that's where I am.
What Kimberly said.
Someone said, yeah. Yeah, someone says half full because other options are not great.
Black Friday 2020, half full or half empty?
Black Friday I hate, half empty. Could do without it. It ought to be banned. I was in Italy 3 years ago over the Thanksgiving break, 2 years ago over the Thanksgiving break, and I was in like Florence or someplace, and stores in the window had Black Friday sales. And I'm like, shut up. Totally half empty.
I'm half empty, but for a different reason, because I think Black Friday is going to be when we really see how desperate brick-and-mortar retailers are in these current environment, this particular environment. And also, like, how many people can't really afford to take advantage of that. You're
yeah,
looking
I'm
very
no,
suspect.
I, what I, no, I'm not, actually. What I'm thinking... Okay. So here we get back to Kai's therapy couch. What I'm
okay.
thinking is I'm giving quick gut responses and you're giving deeply thoughtful answers. So anyway, let us
okay.
proceed, shall we?
Sorry. All right, I'll
no,
be
that's
faster.
Fine. It's
I'll
all
be
good.
Faster.
No. Not at all. You're doing it right, but go ahead.
Okay.
Drew, what's next?
Boeing, half full or half empty?
Boeing. Well, look, I mean, let's talk Boeing 737 MAX, right? And the question is, would you get on a 737 MAX right now? I probably would. I would not with my family, though.
I'd get on a Boeing. Like, I do still trust in this is odd to say that I still trust in the FAA given everything
yeah.
that has happened. But, yes, I do think that that plane is going to be safe by the time it gets ready to fly. Do I want to fly right now? No. But I'll take the half full on the flying on a plane for safety, half empty on traveling because the CDC just told us all to stay home.
Right, right. Also, just very quickly and parenthetically, it matters that the head of the FAA, Steve Dixon, is a former 737 pilot in my book.
Okay, $15 minimum wage.
Oh, half full. I think that is picking
full.
Up
Hard.
Steam.
Yeah,
it's picking up steam. The incoming administration seems like they would like to advance that in some kind of way. And so, yeah, I half full. Take it.
Yeah, for sure. The catch, of course, is that it's, you know, still lags behind any measure of inflation and all of that stuff. But yeah, 15 bucks.
Or a living
bucks,
wage, but better
yeah,
than what is it,
sure.
$7.25 right now for the federal minimum
yep.
wage?
Yep, that's right. That's exactly
right. We should
all
have
right.
saved the make me smile for the end. Dang it. Okay, what
no,
else?
It's all good. It's all good. Is there another one?
Cranberry sauce in a can.
Oh, man.
Half full.
Really?
Half full. Mm-hmm. What?
What's great is I'm looking at the video and you're going, what?
What? You guys can't see me, but I'm shrugging. What?
it is a memory of childhood, which I will always hold dear. But after I got married, my wife's aunt made, I went to their house for Thanksgiving, and we had an actual cranberry sauce that was made like with cranberries, and there was an orange in there and some good stuff. And I discovered what cranberries could be. And look, my mom does not listen to this podcast, so I'm not shaming anybody by saying yeah, my wife does, right? So I gave a shout out to her side of the family. But my mom would uncan a thing of cranberry sauce for Thanksgiving
and
slice
that, like,
it up.
Yeah. Noise.
Right, that noise. And anyway, so no, I will not do. I'm half empty on cranberry sauce in a can.
So here's my thing. I actually did not grow up eating cranberry sauce out of a can. Like, we either didn't have it or my mother would make it. And so yeah. I don't have any of these sort of like negative connotations. It's just like, oh, that's an easier way to make it. And you can add oranges and all these other things to canned cranberry sauce. And yeah, it just doesn't bother me that much. I don't really have strong feelings about it.
Fair enough. Okay.
All right. That's awesome. That was a fun game.
Mm-hmm.
I have to admit, like, even though I watched the video, I kind of thought it was more of a drinking game, but it's just a drinking game.
It's a drinking game if you want it to be, Kimberly. That's, you know.
I'll turn everything into a drinking game. It's Washington at this point. Yeah. All right. So that is it. And Marielle Segarra is going to be in for Molly on Monday. But I will come back on Tuesday for the deep dives on the economics of racial inequality, which I'm really looking forward to that conversation.
That is going to be a good conversation. Totally. Questions, comments, you know where they go. MakeMeSmart@marketplace.org. Hook us up. Send us a voicemail, please. It's always better that way. All right?
Yes. Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner is the digital producer. Stephen Bayan and Ben Heathcote are our video producers. And Ethan Peretz is our video intern. And Erica Phillips writes the newsletter and the Make Me Smart skill on whatever smart device you may choose if you want someone listening to you inside of your house all the time.
Drew Chostad. Was the disembodied voice of Half Full, Half Empty, also was pushing the buttons down in the studio in L.A. Ben Tolliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. Last shout-out for Daniel Ramirez. Today was technically his last day at Marketplace. Sent a lovely, lovely note of farewell. It was absolutely lovely.
Yeah, Daniel are
great.
Very far. And now he's going to be far and not in communication.
Yeah. Donna Tam produces this thing, whatever it is. Sitar Nieves executive directs it, whatever that is. Anyway, we're done.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.